Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon. And welcome to The Drift. Today, I'm your host, Ed Bondarenka, filling in for Gary Wellings. And I'm here with my good friend, Phil. He's not here. Rick. Pastor Richard Dietering. My goodness.
I was going to say.
Phil on the mind for some reason. So, yeah, what we do every Saturday is go over the news we put on the dailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. It's the news.
You need to know.
Hey, perfect, man. That's great. You can put me out of a job. You know, that's the only good thing I do here is coming on time on that. So, today is Saturday, and we want to talk about an advertiser. And that advertiser is Boric Jennings Funeral Home. And, you know, nobody likes to think of death. Nobody likes to think of dying or the death of a loved one. But really, the worst time to get caught by that is when it happens. It's good to be prepared to have something planned. And you should visit Boric Jennings Funeral Home and talk to the professionals there and just see what they have to offer in the event that you should need their services. It's a local to the Whitmore Lake, Livingston area, although they cater to a larger area than that. And you should contact them. They're in Hamburg, Howell, Manchester, Brooklyn. And they're at BoricJennings.com. They're at, there's a number of phone numbers here for the Hamburg, the Howell, the Brooklyn, the Manchester homes. But if you look at BoricJennings.com, and if you can't find that or remember that, go to thedailydrift.com or to currentonline.com and find contact information.
Yeah, you know, Boric Jennings has got a very strong, reputable name in the area. And it's very important. Just my own personal story here, actually my brother's. My brother has recently been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He's now working through hospice and everything else. The fact that he took time to pre-plan his funeral and everything else has made life on his whole family so much easier as we go through this. We're not worrying about all that stuff. So pre-planning is very important. And Boric Jennings is a great place that will help you through it. They will help you with all the details, and they'll make sure you miss nothing. So I strongly suggest, even if you don't have somebody that is facing death right now, there's nothing wrong with pre-planning so your family doesn't have to worry about it in the case of an accident.
Get familiar with the process.
Yeah.
So once again, that's BoricJennings.com, BoricJennings.com. So, Gary is off on special assignment right now in Florida.
That is special assignment. He's on the beach, let's be honest, drinking out of glasses with the little umbrellas in it, having a good time. You can't fool me.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyways, we have a number of topics today. Feel free to call in on any of them as you care to as we discuss the news from thedailydrift.com and in general, the internet. So, one of the big things that happened this week is we lost the Senate seat, the Roy Moore, and we should say Jeff Sessions, Senate seat in Alabama.
Yeah, this is all due to one thing. We have the Democrat Party has made it to where due process is no longer required in this country. Roy Moore was elected on the populist screen on an accusation, which, by the way, the accusations are falling apart tremendously.
Yeah.
But, you know, once the damage is done, it's hard to pull that back in after it's done. It's not just happening with Roy Moore. I mean, this type of stuff is happening in politics all over. I just heard out in Minnesota or Missouri, a guy out there, a longtime Democrat's accusing a Republican of sexual misconduct, you know. With no proof, no argument, nothing. And yet he'll be found guilty. This is the new call of the Democrat Party. If we're going to lose a race, accuse the person of something of some sort of sexual impropriety. Because how do you disprove a negative in the justice in the mind of the social justice concept without actually going through a court trial? Yeah. There is no more innocent until proven guilty, and we are allowing this type of game playing to dictate how our country is going to be run.
You know, I forgot to mention that if you want to call in, it's 734-822-1600. You notice I didn't give away your cell phone number this time.
So I appreciate that.
Getting good at this.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm sitting in the Gary Wellings chair at the moment, and so I've got to put on the tinfoil hat. There's things going on in the Roy Moore, let's call it a debacle, that are kind of interesting. For one thing, there was I don't read Reddit, but I found this link to a Reddit post calling for African-Americans in Mississippi, and then later another one from Georgia, African-Americans in Georgia, another one, African-Americans in Tennessee, to come make a short trip to Alabama on December 12th to vote in the election for Doug Jones. You know, like, well, that's like incitement to voter fraud.
Yeah.
You know, that's one. There's the other that's there are so many write-in candidates, so many write-ins where people couldn't bring themselves to vote for Roy Moore. They couldn't vote for him, so they voted for somebody else, their dog, cat, or whatever. But in Alabama, that any time the write-ins exceed the margin of victory, which it did, then that calls for the naming of every candidate that was written in.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that special?
Yes.
And then there's the fact that there's only 1.7%, the last I read, 1.7% distinction between the two voting tallies. And the law in Alabama says if it's within 0.5%, there has to be a recount. And the military votes aren't in yet. They'll be in on Tuesday, and they haven't been counted. And yet an Alabama judge has ruled that the voting records may be destroyed. They don't have to be kept. And that was an Alabama law, and now he's ruled that the voting precincts can destroy their voting records. How do you have a recount when the records can be destroyed? Especially if it comes out later that, you know, well, the absentee ballots from the military come in and either push him over the edge or into the 0.5% bracket where a recount is demanded, where perhaps we'd get rid of a lot of false votes from the Democratic majority.
Here's the problem with recounts. I don't care what state you're in. When they're recounting, all they're doing is counting the votes. They're not auditing the election.
They're not challenged?
No. The challenge
what happened with the Bush-Gore, Chad?
That right there was actually looking at Chads, and this is where you got into the dangling Chad. That Chad get punched through enough, or you know, because it didn't count?
I thought it was more of an audit. Perhaps
no,
I'm wrong then.
It's what needs to happen in Alabama. Same thing that we cried for in the state of Michigan. Even after Trump won Michigan, there are a lot of people saying it still needed to be audited. I don't think it should have held up the election by any means, but the auditing that the election has to be audited. In other words, we need to start getting names that don't belong on the voter registration, off.
Like in Wayne County in particular. Oh, speaking of that, we have Joe from Wyandotte. Hey, Joe, I'm going to try not to hang up on you, okay? Give me a second. Is this the right button, Rick?
Yeah, that's it.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey,
am I there?
Yes, are you there?
All
I can't
right.
hear you, Joe. I can't hear you.
I didn't get hung up on this time.
Okay.
And just to let you know, just to cut you off for a second here, Joe, before we hang up on you, You can always ask our Swiss Army knife over there to push that button and bring it right up for you.
If I had an on-air interview.
But it's more fun hanging up on Joe. I understand.
I enjoy it. We'll see what happens. Maybe I still have that opportunity. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Well, Rich is right about the recount. It's just a recount. It's not an audit. The Florida, the Bush v. Gore was just that weird, unique situation because of the voting method used. And it landed up challenging it. But I agree. I think there is enough cases of fraud. There was the guy, there's a video wandering around of the TV interview at the Jones camp of the guy admitting, yeah, we came in from all over the country to vote for Jones. You know, they admit the voter fraud on live television.
You know the Democratic mantra, it's vote once, vote often.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
I mean,
yeah, I think
if
what
they could find a place where they know of a fraud taking place, that they could then take it to a judge and challenge and try to get an actual audit of the election, then that would be worth something. Hey. But otherwise, a straight recount wouldn't be worth anything. But I was calling in because I saw on the Daily Drift about judicial overreach again.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar with the story that he has on the Drift about the judge ordering a halt to removing the restriction or the forcing of religious groups to provide contraception for free?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yet another judicial overreach. And yet another reason why, unfortunately, whether you like Trump or not, we've got to get him reelected in 2020. They're talking about Kennedy possibly retiring soon. He's not solid vote as it is. If we could get somebody better than Kennedy on there, that'd be great. But we need to have a Republican president in there for when Ginsburg hopefully finally keels over.
It's hard to tell. You know, she doesn't open her eyes for long periods of time. It's hard to tell.
They have somebody who goes and checks her pulse every now and then.
Yeah. I mean, she literally sleeps during hearings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
And she just wakes up when it's time to vote and Alina Kagan or Sotomayor tells her how to vote.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I just
want clerks. That's what clerks are for.
Just wanted to, just while we have John on the line, talk a little bit more about this recount versus audit. After the election is certified, and after, if it goes to the point where the winner now, Jones, gets sworn in, if they find that there is malfeasance in the voting system or misfeasance, there's nothing. The people that did voter fraud will be punished, but it doesn't overturn at that point after he's sworn in the election. And then you have to wait until the next election to do it all over again. It's easier now just to catch it while it still can be caught. Do I believe there's voter fraud? Yeah, there's pretty strong signs that there have been of people admitting coming in from out of state to vote. The fact that you got a Democrat judge getting rid of
precincts.
Yeah, getting rid of voting records before they're recounted. I think there's a big problem going on down in Alabama right now. And I think the one who can step in and do something about this, believe it or not, is Jeff Sessions.
Yes, yes. Yes, exactly. And
but is he going to? Trump's already come through and told him to told Moore just to resign, you know, give it up.
Yeah.
You know, concede.
Well, that's part of the tin hat thing. Did McConnell McConnell, sorry about that. Did McConnell actually push back against Roy Moore and a number of others so that basically we would lose the majority in the Senate? This is Gary Tinhat speaking. So that they could then say, oh, you must send us money so that we can get the Senate back and still not be accused of doing anything because they don't control the Senate.
They're already working on that right now. They just needed to lose the one. And that way, it's so close. Right now, it's 51, right? We can't afford to lose.
Well, fortunately, the Roy Moore debacle took out Franken. And, you know, it's amazing the fallout on the Democrats.
But Franken comes from a state that's got a Democratic governor who's going to put another Democrat in place.
I realize
that's not a big loss. Where it could have made a difference is like Conyers. We have a Republican governor who could have put somebody in there for a short time.
And refused to.
And refused to.
Oh, well, that begs the other question. And Joe, stay on the line, because this whole thing is about...
You can't for a House seat. You can only do that for a Senate seat.
Well, the whole thing has come about because of accusations of sexual assault and...
Can't the governor put somebody in on Congress and the House if he resigns beforehand? He doesn't have to leave it up to a general election.
There's no provision for that. That's only for the Senate. Because of the long term in the Senate.
Okay. I thought
somebody knows it's Joe.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yep.
Okay, so
since you brought up Franken, I mean, the Alabama situation is the same as Franken's first election over Norm Coleman. That was clearly within the margin of voter fraud.
Well, and once again, Conyers is brought up, and there's another, of course, you know, he's going to be replaced by his son or a Coleman Young Jr. or somebody else. You know, they, it would be nice if somebody like John James would take that position, you know, go for that. You know, somebody who'd be a conservative Republican from Detroit, like Keith Butler did, was mentioned on an earlier show, took office. And, you know, the whole thing is falling apart because of sexual harassment allegations, sexual assault allegations. And there's a candidate for the state attorney general. Derek, you got that? And she's running for office, and she has an interesting platform. Her name is Dana. I'm not going to give her last name at the suggestion of a friend of mine because we really don't want to promote her. You got it, Derek? Go ahead.
If the last few weeks has taught us anything, it's that we need more women in positions of power, not less. So when you're choosing Michigan's next attorney general, ask yourself this. Who can you trust most not to show you their penis in a professional setting? Is it the candidate who doesn't have a penis? I'd say so.
I mean,
wow.
Really? Really? A friend of mine in California, Gil, pointed that out to me. It's like,
wow.
Hilarious.
And she is running for Attorney General for the state of Michigan.
General. Yep. I saw that on YouTube.
But yeah. Democrats will take her seriously.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, in response to her, though, we have plenty of neutered Republican candidates to run for office. You know? I think we have one as governor right now. So, yeah, along your lines of he won't do anything. Yeah, there you go. We have a nice neutered Republican establishment. So there's no threat.
Right. Well, now you'd mentioned the Detroit situation as far as the recount and the need for an audit. Pat Kolbick was trying to do something about that. I haven't talked to him lately. I wrote something to him on Facebook, hadn't heard back from him as to what the status of that is. But I got to ask, given Michigan's recent history, do you have to be a female to be Secretary of State in this state these days? Because I got to tell you, Stan Grote has got a plan that will rein in the voter fraud. He will take it seriously, whereas Johnson and Candace Miller and Terry Lynn Lamb all talked big but did nothing.
What a sexist notion that all the secretaries of state have to be women. Right. Secretaries, you know? But
that's been the history as of late.
Yeah, but you know, that brings up a good point. Is you were writing to Patrick Kolbick, who's running for governor. There's somebody else who's running for governor who could do that. And oh, speaking of ineffective and neutered, he hasn't said a word about it. Who might that be? Let me think.
Bill Schuette?
Oh, geez, yes, our attorney general. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Schuette the duty?
You know, in 2010, Bill Schuette made a point of hitting every Tea Party caucus to go in and say hello and speak and show how conservative he was, just to be a big disappointment to the conservative movement in the state of Michigan in his time up in Lansing. I met him. I talked to him. I sat down with him at one of the conventions. He sat at my table, and we talked and had a good old time. And he, I mean, I actually supported him at the convention to nominate him to run for.
You didn't know better.
You know what? He was saying all the right things, yeah. And you know, that's what politicians do. Where at Kolbeck, I know Senator Kolbeck. He's an honest man. I mean, I know him, and.
Yeah,
and people fall into the Pat or the Bill Schuette concept, they're being duped.
You know, eventually we'll have Pat Kolbeck interviewed on this show if he ever deems to call in and be interviewed.
Well, Pat has got a proven record. You don't have to take his word for it. You can see his proven record.
And absolutely.
It's the same thing with Bob Young for the Senate. He's
absolutely.
Got a proven track record.
Yep.
I have to get both of them back on my show.
Oh, well, Me first.
Gary, no, that's only because you're on first. Yeah.
Don't fight, gentlemen. Don't fight.
Ed and I will be arm wrestling here during break to find out who's going to get who on first.
Hey, Joe, did you read about the latest allegation, though?
A special 2-hour session of the two shows combined.
Well, yeah, stick around.
Stick around for that. Hey, I have a special guest who's going to be joining me during Moment of Clarity. I might as well announce that now. Stay tuned. It's going to be a fun guest. Ed Bodorenko.
So, Joe, there's been one more allegation out of Hollywood of a famous celebrity and groping and fondling.
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman you're referring to?
No, it's actually Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, I have not heard this one. You're breaking news to me.
Said Bruce has been filing her for years.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it's horrible. I think they both ought to go to jail.
That's a good
one. Well, I think he's a Republican. I'm not sure about her.
Well, let's see how further down the hole we can go. Joe, you've really taking us to some places
new
we
lows.
Have gone. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
To get back to seriousness, I heard you last week mention about John James potentially running for the Conyers seat. And I really like that idea. That would be good. Let him get his feet wet doing that, too, and building cred in Wayne County, which, of course, we need to carry statewide races for the Senate. That way he'll be better prepared, and I'd be behind him 100% to run against Peters in the Senate in 2020, assuming that he would lose to Conyers Jr. or Coleman Young II. But who knows?
Well, Lena backed out.
Take a shot, yeah.
Lena backed out for a House run. You know, exactly. There's no shame in that. Let John James do it, too.
I think that would be a good idea.
All right, well, that makes two of us. Anybody else got an idea? Oh. You know what? Let's see now. I've got a couple minutes for Ken. Joe, I'm going to let you go right now.
Just hang up on him.
Take care, guys.
Bye, click. Okay, hey, Merry Christmas, Joe.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Bye-bye.
That's the hang-up button, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the Ken from Livonia button, right?
Yeah, I just want to quickly comment that as we begin to celebrate the Christmas holiday and people are setting up their Christmas trees, it's important to understand where it came from, the tradition. And it can be traced back to Martin Luther, who started putting an evergreen tree decorated in his home.
And why was that?
With a star on top. And this spread, you know, people came into his home, they seen it. And this tradition spread, but he had a meaning behind it.
What was that?
Well, he said that it was a symbol. The star representing the birth of the Christ child. And he said, as you look at the tree, the bottom of the tree was a symbol of the Christian congregation, the believers. And going up the tree, the Christian congregation was looking up towards the star, but also up to Christ.
Yeah, cool. I had also heard that because the tree was an evergreen, it spoke of the evergreen resurrected life that Jesus had and offers.
That's true. That's where it all started from.
Rick?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to please call in again during next hour, share that story again. I wanted to comment on last time, but we got caught up talking about eggnog. But yeah, it's I'm not one of these bah humbug anymore about you can't have a Christmas tree because of Jeremiah, because I'll tell you what, I don't think anyone who has a Christmas tree in their house is saying, I'm putting this up here to represent an Estros pole, you know? I don't think anybody goes into it with that mindset. I think they're going into it to bring joy into the season into it.
Yep.
And if we can bring a good Christian picture to the Christmas tree, as Ken is doing, I think it's a wonderful idea.
Oh, music.
And I think it's important to stress.
All right, Ken, Merry Christmas.
Thanks
for calling in. Always good. Talk to you later.
Take.
And so, folks, come on back after the break. We'll do more of this. Once again, the number is 734 1-800-522-1600. I got the nod of approval from Pastor Rick. I got it right.
Hi, this is Linda Hughes, General Manager at Wham Talk 1600. Christmas is my favorite time of the year for so many reasons. Getting together with family and friends, watching timeless Christmas movies, and of course, the Christmas carols. The best thing about Christmas is that love is in the air. It's the miracle that happened on that very first Christmas night. Linus says it best.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. President Trump sounding upbeat regarding the GOP tax overhaul bill that Congress says will be passed in the coming week.
It really will mostly benefit the middle class and jobs. Companies are coming in, they're pouring into the country, they've already started, and this will be great for jobs. It'll be fantastic for the middle-income people and for jobs. It'll also benefit lots of other things. I mean, we're looking to, if you look at the whole thing, everybody's going to benefit. But I think the greatest benefit is going to be for jobs and for the middle class.
President, prior to departing for Camp David for the weekend, the vote's expected by the middle of next week. Democrats fear the worst.
Democrats are nearly unanimous in their opposition and frustrated that they, as the minority, were shut out of the process. They don't believe that all Americans will be better off under this bill.
Fox's Doug McElway, the president, says he'll sign it by Christmas. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
Hey, and welcome back to The Drift. I hate to talk over that music. Gary turned me on to that. One show, he used it as bump music, and though I'd been using, what's that detective theme now? Peter Gunn.
Yes.
Which I enjoy. I thought this would be a little bit more apropos and let people think that it's still Gary's show.
We'll let them think that, right? Yeah. Nod, wink, wink.
Yeah. So, like I said, welcome back. Got Pastor Rick in here in the guest chair helping me along. And, of course, we've got Derek across the glass pushing the buttons, turning the dials, and making sure everything goes right. And we got a call from Barb from Ypsilanti, and if she'll wait a bit, I've got an ad to do, and then we'll get right to her. So we're going to talk about Epic Rehabilitation After Surgery or Hospitalization, Epic WellBridge. Now, if you're looking for a rehab facility, these are the people you want to talk to. They're have many locations: Brighton, Fenton, Novi, Pinckney, Rochester Hills, Romeo, specializing in post-acute rehabilitation and nursing care. WellBridge makes rehabilitation easier with their smart design, innovative concepts, authentic hospitality, and commitment to their guests. WellBridge centers are designed to provide a bridge to recovery and wellness, and they can be found at their website, which is thewellbridgegroup.com, www.thewellbridge.com. Check them out if you have needs for their facilities, and many families do these days.
So. Yeah.
Alrighty, so let's take a call from Barb, who is on. Derek's on the phone, so I am going to take. Is that Barb?
Yes.
Good. Sir. I win.
Wow.
Two in a row. I've done right. So, Barb, what can we do for you?
Well, I just had. I was listening while I was in my car to the whole conversation about the Alabama
Roy Moore
voter fraud kind of thing. And so anyway, I guess one opinion I have is to do what the liberals do, and they get into office, and then, you know, under Republican guise, and then they vote liberal. So I guess we've left to level the playing field and have some of our conservative people get into office as Democrats, and then they can vote their conscience and, you know, maybe it'll kind of level up the playing field. But I also wanted to add that we've lived in Ipsy all our lives, 69 years, and we have raised four very strong conservative people, three sons and a daughter. They're in their 40s and two mid-30s. And from them, we have 11 grandchildren who know how to vote and speak their minds. Some of them are in high school in Tecumseh and Mount Pleasant and Ipsy area. And they're able to be confident and, you know, confront the news that doesn't, you know, that just placates to the liberals.
Train up a child?
And the false news.
Yep.
So,
train up a child in the way they should go.
We're proud of our kids.
So. Yep. You know, I like your plan. I like your plan. There's just one major flaw in it. Democrats vet their candidates.
I know.
Go ahead, Rick.
Well, actually, years ago, I ran for office, and I ran in a community that was only going to go Democrat. Now, I've always been a diehard conservative, and I ran as a Democrat, and I even let them know after I was elected. I was very conservative in my views, which really disappointed the Ann Arbor News, which was actually out in paper at that time. But I'll tell you what, I never felt so disgusting in my life to carry that Democrat moniker behind my name.
I know.
I'm serious. It's just I ran for office a few times in that district, but I refused to run with that D behind my name because I'll tell you what that party stands for. You run underneath the name of a party, you have to at least sit there and give some credit to their platform. When you run as a Democrat, you're kind of saying, I agree with their platform. And there's nothing about the Democrat platform that I could ever agree with. And I think most Republicans out there have enough of a conscience about themselves to sit there and say, we cannot keep acknowledging the Democrat platform as being right.
Yeah, or you get treated like Pat Kolbeck does by the other Republicans. They just want to support you.
It's like visually wearing a lump of coal around your neck. You
yeah, so it really is. And I think what we need more in this country is less lying. We need less rhinos. If the rhinos want to be liberal, let them run as Democrats. Let them endorse that platform that they so much want to hang on to. And let mm-hmm. the conservatives have the Republican Party and run with that platform.
See who wins.
And stop playing games with the parties. Because in the end, parties are nonprofit organizations that are not government entities, and that's where most people forget. The Democrat Party is not a government entity. Neither is the Republican.
Yep.
Those are two clubs in which they're going to endorse the members from their own club. And you don't always get a good member from the club endorsed by the party.
Anything else, Barb?
I'm sort of waiting for any conservatives who are within the range financially of buying up all of the radio, TV, newspaper, media, so that we can get the truth out there.
What do you think about Disney just buying a lot of Fox?
I'm sorry?
Did you just hear Disney is purchasing a lot of Fox?
Yeah, but they missed the news.
They don't get the news. They don't get the news station. There's a few things they don't get. They don't get the news station and something else.
Well, you know, that's why I'm trying to, Barb, that's why I'm trying to grow the current into a media empire so that I could take over the liberal, buy the free press next and make it profitable.
He now has 19 subscribers. You want to be 20.
Oh, hey, awesome.
Hey, Barb, you have a Merry Christmas. I got to take a call from the boss.
I forgot about him. We got 20 subscribers with the Drift. He subscribes too.
Merry Christmas,
like I
Barb.
Said, it's growing. Wow.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Well, let's see if I can do this without hanging up on him. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Ed. Hey, Pastor Rick.
Hello.
It's just like old times.
I missed the first half of the show. Sorry, I was in the middle of something.
Oh, God,
so I don't
know.
Eric said you had been talking a little bit about John Conyers and whatnot. But
hey, and the recording's gone, too. It didn't record.
Have you talked at all about this week's news, the FBI catastrophe that's going on?
That was next, but your call preempted that.
Well, I'm gonna let you get to it. I just wanted to poke my head in the door, so to speak, and say, good job, thank you very much, and just press forward with it, because I think people need to know that. And I'm not bagging on our field agents and the rank and file of the FBI, but most certainly the top leadership of the FBI needs to be in jail.
Right.
All of them, from McCabe to Rosenstein. Well, maybe Rosenstein's a good guy. I don't know, but he certainly hasn't. We'll see what that the Inspector General report comes out that everyone's now thinking is going to be huge. I would hope so, but who knows?
Now,
we got some Trey Gowdy audio grilling Rosenstein.
Gary, are you sure we should be having this conversation here, or should we wait and have it on our secret phones?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And of course,
all right. Well, I'm going to let you guys get to it, because I think I'm going to run out of a cell area here shortly. But thank you again so much, and to all the listeners, make sure you stay involved. And we need to get rid of Dabney Stabenow in 2018, please.
Amen. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Amen. Merry Christmas to you guys. We'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas.
Bye. Okay, I don't know. Oh, Todd from Whitmore Lake. Okay, let's try that one. Todd, did I hang up on you?
Of course not.
I'm getting good at this. I might be a professional someday.
One of these days, you can push buttons for a living.
There you go.
Hey, you know, it's terrible when Gary's going to run out of cell service. You know, he's probably riding a dolphin down there in Florida sunbathing.
Yeah.
You know, I just had to call you guys.
Yeah, well, we're sitting up here looking at all that white stuff.
So what you got, Todd?
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. We appreciate that phone call. Hey, buddy. Hey, I was just calling in to talk to you guys about liberals, and we can, unfortunately, when it comes to liberals, I would actually love to talk to a liberal, because you can probably get to them a little bit. Now, when it comes to what we are still calling people that are progressives, liberals, we need to do a little research on that, because a lot of the information that came up through the, what do you call it, the election, and even prior to that, even Hillary Clinton talked about progressives and progressivism. Because think about this. A progressive is somebody progressing us to totalitarianism, which if Hillary Clinton was in office, we would be in serious trouble.
Oh, amen.
So people need to stop and think about who's talking. The old definition of a liberal doesn't fit anymore. And if it does, it fits for only very few certain people. You can actually talk to them and have a conversation. But when it comes to progressives, forget it.
Would you say Alan Dershowitz is a progressive or a liberal from what you know of him?
I don't know enough about him to speak on that, so I really can't say, so I shouldn't.
Because he's somebody that has a fair mind, you know what I mean? Somebody who's fair and balanced when he looks at issues, and he's obviously liberal, but I don't know if he's a progressive.
Here's the thing, is being a liberal has changed its meaning even before our lifetime.
Yeah,
if you take a look at classical liberal, that would have been Thomas Jefferson, would have been a classical liberal. He would not in any way, shape, or form fit in today's Democrat Party.
Or what we call libertarian?
No. I would say much more pragmatic, wanting to do good for the people, but still not letting government overreach.
Okay.
There are some parts of the Libertarian Party that I would sit there and say, yeah, fall into that to that old traditional liberal view. But in the 80s, the Democrat Party started taking the 40s, they started taking the party and moving it from liberal to socialist. Two different things. Socialist is a monetary way of dealing with things. It's a business construct, so to speak. And they started pushing this liberalism as socialism. And that's where we are now. And now we give it the name progressivism. In the 80s, being called a liberal was a dirty word. Matter of fact, the liberals stopped calling themselves liberals. The Democrats stopped calling themselves liberals because they had spoiled the name so much.
Yeah, it's soiled.
Soiled the name of liberals so much that they could no longer even attach it to themselves. They had to go with something else. So they said, we're not liberals, we're progressives.
Newspeak.
And progressive just means socialist. And that's exactly what it means. And you find some honest, somewhat honest Democrats, they'll tell you progressivism is nothing more than socialism with a different title.
And socialism is nothing but communism light. Todd, you got anything more before we go on to the FBI?
Just to let you know that ABC buying Fox, you'll see big changes, even though that there was changes with the two sons coming in and taking it over.
Yeah, that's scary.
So ABC, to me, is progressivism.
Now, does Disney own ABC?
Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, Todd, well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. And
Disney's
you also
buying up everything.
Yes.
I want to point this out. You know, Disney bought up Marvel comic books, and they bought up the whole Star Wars thing. So,
well, at least they improved Star Wars.
And you know, you heard what they're doing with Thor, didn't you?
Oh, woman.
They're going to bring a woman
in
as
a... They do that with what just happened in the latest movie. I don't get that.
I don't
want to know.
So look at this. Princess Leia and Thor will become the new Disney princess.
Okay. Todd, thanks for calling in. Merry Christmas. Oh, Todd hung up.
He hung up.
Todd, nonetheless, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Still listening.
FBI.
FBI. Well, actually, deep state intelligence. All right, so one, I don't have audio, so you're going to have to listen to me. I'll make it quick. This is Mike Morrell, former acting director of the CIA from 2012 to 2013. He's saying he's taken some of the blame for Trump's feud with the CIA. He says, in the intelligence business, we would say that Mr. Putin had recruited Mr. Trump as an unwitting agent of the Russian Federation. He says, my training as an intelligence officer taught me to call it as I see it. This is what I did for the CIA. This is what I'm doing now. Our nation will be much safer with Hillary Clinton as a president. Well, that was what he said then. And now he's thinking, this may have left a bad impression with Trump. Maybe Trump thought that we were opposing him. You think? So he goes on to say, then he becomes president and he's supposed to be getting a daily brief from the moment he becomes the president-elect, Morrell said, right? And he doesn't. And within a few days, there's leaks about how he's not taking his briefing. So he must have thought, right? What? Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be taking a briefing? Why am I not getting one? I don't think these guys like me very much. I'm paraphrasing Morrell here. So that's, you know, our major intelligence function, the branches, the CIA, the Department of Defense, and then, of course, the FBI. And so now who else in intelligence might be opposed to Trump? And there's an query that Trey Gowdy did of assistant, some would say acting, Attorney General Rosenstein, since Jeff Sessions has basically deposed himself from everything important except chasing down MS-13 gangs. And, Derek, would you play the Trey Gowdy audio, please? Thank you. He's nodding his head yes.
The reason we have special counsel, this is a very important point, and you know it. The reason we have special counsel is because of a conflict of interest. The regulation itself specifically makes reference to a conflict of interest. And we don't like conflicts of interest because it undercuts people's confidence in both the process and the result. So let's be really clear why we have special counsel. There was either a real or perceived conflict of interest that we were fearful would either impact the result or people's confidence in the process. That's why we have something called special counsel, and that's why we have special counsel in this fact pattern. And then lo and behold, those who are supposed to make sure there are no conflicts of interest seem to have a few of their own. There's a senior prosecutor who sent obsequious emails to a fact witness. She can be described as nothing other than a fact witness. She's a really important fact witness if you pursue the line of inquiry that my Democrat friends want to pursue. They got off of collusion, and now they're on obstruction of justice. She may be the most important fact witness in an obstruction of justice case. And the senior prosecutor for this conflict of interest-free special counsel sent a fawning, obsequious email to a fact witness. And then we have prosecutors assigned to conduct this investigation who donated almost exclusively to one candidate over another. And then we have a prosecutor assigned to this conflict of interest-free team that attended what was supposed to be, what he'd hoped to be, a victory party for Secretary Clinton. And we have a senior DOJ official, Mr. Deputy Attorney General, with an office that used to be two doors down from yours, meeting with Fusion GPS. And Fusion GPS, of course, was paying for Russian dirt on the very person that they're supposed to be objectively investigating. And then that same senior DOJ official's wife, the one that met with Fusion GPS, his wife was on the payroll of Fusion GPS.
Now, we're talking about Bruce Orr here, the former Associate Deputy Attorney General. He was demoted at the Justice Department in the wake of revelations about undisclosed meetings he had with officials from Fusion GPS. And he's expected to testify this Monday in a closed-door hearing before the Senate Intelligence Committee. His wife, Nellie Orr, worked at Fusion GPS during the summer, specifically on Trump-related issues. You know this was Oppo research on Trump.
Yep.
And then you've got everybody's heard of Peter Strzok. I don't know how many people have heard of Bruce Orr, but you got Peter Strzok, the FBI agent, who was very senior, very involved in the Clinton email server investigation, and then involved in the Fusion GPS investigation for the FBI, the so-called collusion. And then he sent out these texts to his girlfriend, who he's having an affair with, you know, violating his marital vows with another operative in the FBI. And it says, quote, "I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected," that being Trump, "but I'm afraid we can't take that risk," Strzok texted on August 15, 2016. "It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. And the Andy is Andy McCabe. You know, FBI. Come on. These guys are the resistance. They are the deep state.
And what they're stating now on this is that this was all harmless because inside the emails, the Clinton emails, is there was proof that there was an affair going on with Hillary Clinton, and they were not wanting to bring that out as part of the election, and that's all they were trying to keep her personal business personal.
You know the fallacy on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. It's okay.
Who in their right mind, except Huma Abedin, would have an affair with Hillary Clinton?
Right. Well, not even that. They're probably thinking since Bill had an affair, it's only fair that Hillary does, right? So no one's going to hold that against her, but it sounds good. There's a whole lot more going on here than what they're trying to portray. The fact is they were using protected phones, private phones, to have conversations on how to defeat Trump. This is not the job of the FBI office to sit there and conjure up ways to defeat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Fact is there were emails out there that were supposed to be made public, and they were not. They hid them, and all they set back and they arbitrarily said, "Well, these are just they don't break the law. They're just
These are guys who were maneuvering themselves into position." Or was at the supposed victory party that Hillary failed to attend,
mm-hmm.
and he was there. Strzok was a pro Hillary. They expected to get bumped up in the FBI when Hillary was elected. They saw this as part of their career path. politics in office.
I think a lot of it is the FBI liked the fact that they were their own boss. You have party elites. You have Democrats. You have Republicans. Trump doesn't fit that picture. Now you get somebody who's not this politician coming into the White House. Things are going to change, and the FBI does not like things changing. You know, and it is.
And to see the FBI stonewall Senate investigations just drives me nuts. Like I said last week, I mean, these are guys who used to have to come to Congress for their budget. That, you know, it wasn't always just a CR, a CR, a CR, a CR, where everything's just folded in and they get what they want from the Obamas. Now it's like, wait a minute. We have to ask them for money? What if they don't want to give it to us?
You have to remember, the FBI, the head of the FBI, has been a super bully pulpit ever since Hoover. Whoever's in charge of the FBI has the dirt on everyone, right?
Yeah, they inherit the Hoover files.
Right. And so here we have now this empire of the FBI crumbling.
Yeah.
And they don't like it. And they knew it was going to crumble underneath a Trump presidency.
I'm hoping Ray is the right guy. Of course, I'm kind of Pollyannish on this, but I'm hoping that Ray is going to clean house. But I think, I really do believe that he's got to do it in such a way that he doesn't destroy the FBI, that it's got to be surgical strikes.
Field agents are fantastic. They're out there. Their only concern is trying to do the job of the FBI.
Yep.
It's the people once they get in higher office, and we have to just keep an eye on each person that's given that seat, because all of a sudden they're given a lot of information. You know, that information is power.
Comey did not rise up through the ranks to lead the FBI. You know, Mueller did not rise up through the ranks to lead the FBI. These were not guys who were company men, so to speak. So, you know, they're political guys, and they got political positions. I'm hoping that Ray, you know, same deal, unfortunately, but he's going to see which way the wind is blowing, and I'm hoping, you know, when we see Strzok moved back, when we see Orr demoted, when we see some of the other stuff going on, I think there's some background stuff going on. I'd like to think it was generated by Jeff Sessions. Who knows?
Well, I think Jeff, he got kind of a bum rap that he's recusing himself from everything. I think actually him recusing himself from some of this stuff is actually brilliant. Because in the end, look at all this stuff that's coming out that's damaging to Hillary. Now, if Jeff Sessions was involved with this and this was all coming out, that's, oh, this is political.
Well, that's a good point.
You know, but now it's the team there that was supposed to exonerate Hillary and prove Trump the evil one is doing the exact opposite. They're coming out saying, we're having problems with Hillary.
Okay. Hey, we got a line from Gary from Hazel Park, and I do not want to miss that. I'm sorry, I was so wrapped listening to you that I missed the board here. Let's go with Gary. I'll bet you I pushed the right button there, right, Gary?
Yes, you did. 3 for 3. You're going great.
Excellent.
Hey, look, you know, the scope and breadth of the corruption in the federal government is
talk fast, Gary.
And we will never know the whole truth. There's just no way, because every time they turn over a rock, there's a roach.
That's right.
All we can do is keep trying and keep this up for the rest of our lives, because it does have to be fixed.
Excellent.
And that's all there is to it. The future of the country depends on it.
Well, thanks, Gary. Thanks for calling in. Merry Christmas to you and yours. And the rest of you, thanks for listening. Pastor Rick, thanks for your help. Derek, thank you very much for everything you do. And the rest of you, if we don't hear from you again, Merry Christmas.